a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, KSL News Time 6:30.
35 degrees.
Got a bunch of different crashes, although none of them too big of a problem yet. I'm Andy Farnsworth.
The coronavirus, Utah families and schools.
A substitute teacher shortage has prompted the principal at East High to ask the community for their help as some students end up spending part of their day in the school auditorium.
KSL News Radio's John Wojcik joins us live with the latest. John?
Yeah, Amanda, there were reports yesterday from East High parents that five or six classes at a time were in the school auditorium and were only being overseen by one substitute teacher. In an email to students and parents, Principal Greg Mon didn't touch on any specific numbers, but he did admit that the district is dealing with a substitute teacher shortage. In fact, a link was sent out asking people to please step forward if they know anyone who would like the opportunity to work in a school. The email also seemed to coincide with the parents' report, saying that when the school isn't able to fill enough substitute requests, students have to then meet in the auditorium for asynchronous learning. Live, John Wojcik, KSL News Radio.
A group of Southern California parents who are tired of their kids having to do school over Zoom got together Monday to say enough is enough. The second largest school district in the country will soon hit the one-year mark of all their classes being online. This parent in Los Angeles says she understands teachers' concerns, but says the country has to move forward.
Majority of essential workers, including me, have been working since March without vaccination. I understand that there is a risk involved, but this is their job.
The parents who held the rally point to the CDC and American Academy of Pediatrics recommendations, saying that it is safe to reopen schools.
The Salt Lake Education Association says it's a safety issue by deciding to stick with remote learning. KSL News Radio's Heather Kelly has more.
The latest argument is over a Senate bill going through the Utah legislature, which will remove funds from schools that don't offer face-to-face teaching for students. The Education Association President James Tobler says the Salt Lake School Board is protecting students and educators by sticking with online classes, and the legislature is trying to overreach its authority. Others say they need the option to either send their kids to in-person classes or stick with remote learning. Heather Kelly, KSL News Radio.
Supporters say a proposal to have more teleworking in Utah government would not only help the air, it would help the rural parts of the state, too. KSL News Radio's Mary Richards is live with more. Mary?
Tim, this bill would have state agencies identify employees that could be part of the surge telework program on bad air days or even with extreme weather. And Paiute County Commissioner Darren Bushman told the legislature it could help cut down on long commutes.
Next to going to the dentist, going to Salt Lake City used to be my least favorite thing to do because of your traffic and inversion and all of those things. I have to admit, the pandemic certainly changed that.
And the pandemic showed people can be productive while working from home. So Bushman says more state employees ought to be able to live in rural areas and work remotely. The bill now moves to the Senate floor. Live, Mary Richards, KSL News Radio.
KSL's top national stories this hour. Attorney General nominee Merrick Garland is expected to be asked more hot-button questions in day two of his confirmation hearings. Garland says prosecution of cases associated with the Capitol Hill riot on January 6th will be his top priority. Senator Dick Durbin says Garland has experience handling these types of cases.
When it came to the worst domestic terrorism incident in the history of the United States 25 years ago, it was Merrick Garland at the Department of Justice they sent down to prosecute the Oklahoma City bombing.
Be sure to stay with KSL News Radio as we bring you updates on this hearing throughout the day.
Congress is set to hear from former security officials about what went wrong during the U.S. Capitol breach on January 6th. Three of the four testifying today resigned under pressure immediately after the attack, including the former head of the Capitol Police. Two of the officials will be speaking publicly for the first time since their resignations.
And our Senator Mitt Romney will be attending that hearing. KSL weather with Grant Wayman. A nice warm day today with lots of sunshine and highs in the upper 40s along the Wasatch Front. But that won't be the case tomorrow.
We'll see some scattered snow showers with minimal accumulation, trace amounts at best for tomorrow. The one thing we will notice tomorrow is the temperature. You know, as we get to late February and early March, seeing more 50s is not out of the question. In fact, the average high by early March is 50. Degrees. However, we're going to keep it in the 30s tomorrow and Thursday. We got some colder than average temperatures.
Grant says we'll warm a little on Friday before we get another weak storm on Saturday before warming back up starting on Monday.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.